we trust. It's the people in charge we're not sure about.
Hey! Welcome to another cracking episode of In Tech We Trust, where this week we've abandoned the Euros and decided to do an all-USA version only. I shall raise the flag. America! Yeah! So, hey, this week we have Jason Langer, Tim Jabot, Damian Carlson, Mark Farley, and myself, Gabriel Chapman. Jason, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us who you are. What do you do?
Sure, I'm Jason Langer. I work for a VAR up in Seattle, Washington. Blog at virtuallanger.com and on Twitter at Jason Langer.
Nice. And you have written a bunch of stuff. You're like a 500-year V expert. You've written some sweet guides that people use, correct?
Yeah, we've got myself and Josh Cohen have done some study guides for VCP5, VCAP exams. Keep your eyes peeled at the end of the month for VCP6 guide. That will be coming out as well.
Score, where can we stalk you?
At Twitter is at jslanger, it's J-A-S-L-A-N-G-E-R, and at virtuallanger.com.
Score. All right, Tim Jabot, Mr. Mom Jeans himself, inside joke. Tell
Absolutely.
Us about yourself.
Founding member of the VDB. I'm an enterprise architect with BB&T Bank. Relocated New Yorker, lives in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina these days with Josh Atwell and Amy Lewis. Ooh. Introduced me to all these clowns.
You live with them?
Currently back up in New York right now, having some cocktails, sitting out, looking at landscapes and at mountains. Totally different than my normal day.
Like, are they the same mountains, or do you, like, get to, like, swipe left or swipe right and get different mountains?
Well, right now they're a little... We got some rain coming in, so I'd like to swipe right now.
Dude, we need to do, like, a Tinder but for mountains. We'll call it Grounder. Grounder.
Not to be confused with Grinder, right?
Down, folks, I'm a freaking prophet. Grounder. There it is.
And so obviously that voice is Damian Carlson, a.k.a. at 6 Foot Dad on Twitter.
Sorry, Tim. I didn't cut you off,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, I'm ready to kick a table over here.
Yeah, now you don't get to introduce yourself, Damian.
You've been introduced. Damian, what do you do at the EMC?
So I work for EMC Global Services. I am in the cloud portfolio, and I am specifically...
To the cloud!
To the cloud, like Taco from the league.
And on most days, you are like me and don't put on pants since we work from home.
No, dude, I rarely put on pants.
Are always optional.
I actually prefer shorts, dude. But, yeah, and in fact, little known fact, I buy, like, all the same things. So, like, if I see a pair of shorts I like, I'll buy, like, 5 of them.
Same color?
Like Einstein and Steve
Jobs.
The
exact same thing. Dude, I buy the same exact thing. Like, oh, man, my socks are starting to fall apart. Amazon. Rebuy, done, more socks. It makes my life so much easier. I'll tell you what.
So do you like walk up to people on the street and say, I like those socks, where can I get 5 of them?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So you're saying unlike our VDB brother James Bowling, who would buy one of every color, you would have to buy all the same.
Only if he was going to pop collars.
Dude, you know what? We should actually make an app that will let you, like, scan socks, and it'll, like, direct you to the Amazon link. You could call it, like, Soccer Flocker.
That's horrible.
That would be a great Windows Phone app, except it would use Amazon, and Microsoft wouldn't allow that.
Damian, this whole operating at 100% efficiency, I'm not really sure where your brain is going these days. You might want to go back to 80.
I'm like Taco when it got all smart and started speaking French and shit.
Right.
All right. Moving on, Mark Farley.
By the way, what's your policy on cursing on this podcast?
Oh, no, we can totally curse.
It's fine.
This is for children. This is for French children especially.
So basically it's the same rule as a Kansas City V-mug, Damian.
Backstory on that. Didn't you drop like a massive F-bomb during the actual...
Right during the final, the absolute final panel session in front of 500 people, Damian's got to drop it.
Yeah, dude. Like, we got early access to the bar, so we're up there drinking beer, and I'm just being typical Damien, just swearing and talking shit in front of all of these people. And it's so much fun to do that, dude. It's so much better than,
we should select
than, like,
a code word. I think we should select a code word from the list of unmentionables to use on the show today.
Yes. Thank you, Mark, because we're going to need it as we traverse the intricate maze of
other regions
of technology shenaniganizing. So we need a safe word. Suggestions?
Poughkeepsie.
I'm going with Fidelio. I mean, Fidelio? We're going to
Was that Eyes Wide Shut, the movie?
No, that was from The League. Come on.
No. Fidelio was actually from the movie Eyes Wide Shut. So that's where The League probably stole it from. And for those of you who are like who are European who've never have a, no comprehension, The League is a great show that's on FX, and you can go watch it on Hulu and all Netflix and all others. It's about a fantasy football league full of people just like you and me.
Except by way filthier and on broadcast cable TV.
Yeah, no, it's
so my sister
awesome.
Just walked past me because she's hearing all this stuff that I'm talking about, and she's like, how is this a job? And I'm like, yep, there we go.
How is this a job? That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know, but paydays on Friday, man.
Yeah, this is going to get at least 4 downloads. I know it. So, Mark, how you doing?
Fidelio.
Fidelio, that's it?
I'm doing great. I had a vacation last week, so it was nice.
With was family or by yourself? Was it a vacation
with the family?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it was my wife and I with a whole lot of other people from this big extended family. My mother-in-law and her college buds decided to start doing these multi-family reunions out in Montana like 55 years ago. I married into this thing, and every other year I go there. We got great fly fishing, good hiking. But it's this huge, you know, it's even impossible to talk about how many families are there and all this stuff. But it's kind of like this big family event. You know, my kids are working and doing other stuff, so they didn't come this year, so we could go and, you know, drink beer there instead.
It sounds like a Mormon getaway.
It kind of is, yeah. Slowly but surely, we're introducing alcohol to the bunch.
Alcohol and sister switched. Wives, right?
Nobody
a Mormon
switched.
Getaway sounds like the worst kind of getaway. It's like, oh, let's sit around and not drink iced tea.
Well, great. Now
it's not 420 friendly.
Well, yeah, you're in Montana.
Yeah. Hey, they got that.
It's 419 up there. I mean, they get things a little bit differently. So
head up to Washington, Mark.
Yeah, just go across the border there.
Colorado, or in this case, Austin.
Yeah, well, I better do it soon before we elect that fuckhead Christie.
Fidelio.
Oh, Fidelio.
Fidelio.
Sweet. All right, so, hey, you know, this week we got a few stories we can chit-chat about. We'll just kind of go through tech news stuff. And so I put some links here in the chat. We'll talk about those. So let's kick it off with Tintri loves the big F. Tintri got $125 million round of funding, their F round of funding from several different vendors this week. Curious, you know, that's what Jason Langer, you would say that's a SMB play?
SMB mid-market, I guess, depending on what level you consider mid-market or commercial to be. Solid product. You know, you and I've chat about it quite a bit. So hat tip to those guys to getting some more funding. Hopefully, I'm assuming it's for some sort of expansion or hiring additional Salesforce people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think obviously you get to this particular phase, and it's the next step is obviously, I think, you know, going to be an IPO if we can go that way. You know, one thing I do find curious is that more and more of the technology companies are deciding to opt for private funding rather than an IPO. And I'm curious about that, you know, everywhere from Pure to, you know, the company I work for, SolidFire, to Tintri, to, you know, T-Gile just got around as well. You know, it seems to be D rounds are fairly common, and possibly E's are getting more common as well, instead of actually taking the companies public. Because I think there are some downsides to going public. Obviously, it exposes your books to everybody, but, you know, the flip side of there is that the investors want to get paid.
You go public and it exposes everything, and then all of a sudden you start talking people that are once you hit pre-IPO or IPO phase, there's an awful lot of answering to do. The days of being able to do what you think is in the best interest of your company goes right out the window.
So this round, I'm changing gears here a little bit. This round was led by Silver Lake Kraftwerk. Is this like an old, like German, you know, pop?
It sounds like a brewery.
Dude, is it Kraftwerk with a K? Because that would be awesome.
It is. It's Kraftwerk with a K.
Are there four dudes in the front wearing Dieter outfits?
That's where I'm going with this. I mean, who's this? Who's Silver Lake Kraftwerk? Anybody hear of these guys before?
I have not. And, you know, I would be curious to see, you know, if they break out who invested most. I mean, that's usually something that's not disclosed who was the bulk of the investor unless it's a single investor-led round. You know, I'm guessing that they're probably taking a little bit more risk. I mean, an F round is pretty fairly uncommon in the storage world.
According to them, they're the global leader in technology investing.
Yeah, I am looking at their I'm looking at this page too, right? And they're in 3D printing, commodity management software, water utilities, recycled plastics.
You sure they're not? Did they invest in Savage.io as well?
They got Silicon Valley, New York, London, Hong Kong, Tokyo offices.
I mean, yeah, hey, they obviously have some cash. I mean,
well, did the check clear?
I'm going to guess it did.
Yeah. We don't have the Europeans to help describe this or even pronounce these names. I'm looking at the director, Jorg Adams, J-O-E-R-J, or G, J-O-E-R-G. So is that Jorge or?
I think that's not George.
It's Jorg.
George, yeah. George, George Adams, okay.
it's pronounced Jorg.
Yeah, it's Jorg, Bjorg.
Is that like Bjorn?
No, it's Jorg.
Jorg.
It's Jorg. It's like the Borg, but with a Y, it's Jorg.
Well, and I'm looking at the locations where these guys are, you know, Menlo, New York, you know, Menlo, London, Hong Kong, Menlo, you know, most of them are out here, but it's a interesting conglomeration. Lots and lots of names on this list. So it kind of looks like it looks like it's almost like a big angel group or something with just tons of people in it.
No, it would be interesting to see, you know, some of the things that they'd invested in the past and see if they've had successful exits. I mean, because, you know, you look at what Tintri's got. They got, what, six rounds from seven different investors for $260 million total. That's a lot. That's a lot of, you know.
So let's see. These guys invested in GoDaddy, which just posted earnings today that were 16% up but still at a loss. Alibaba Group, which obviously we know is huge. Avaya, is that even a going concern?
Is that a crow in the background somewhere? What did we just hear?
That's a murder
of crows.
I think that was a nice.
I just think that their name is super bitchin'.
Silver Lake Kraftwerk.
Do they spell the work with an E? Because
it is W-E-R-K.
W-E-R-K, correct.
Yeah. It is so sweet.
With a K and an E.
That's the best ever team. If they have, oh my God, dude, look how many people are in this. There's like 7,000 partners in here.
Well, what it says is they have approximately 100 investment and value creation professionals is what they say.
But none of them are wearing black turtlenecks as I scroll through the thing, and I'm very disappointed.
And there is not a single message about when is the time of the dancing.
They really are across all spectrum. You look at their industry verticals. I mean, they're everywhere from water utilities and recycled plastics to 3D printing, enterprise accounting software, and, well, storage.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you can also read the same list Mark just did.
Right. Mark probably hasn't had as many cocktails as I've had.
Nor will I'm working on it.
I will say this, though. I mean, that's a fairly extensive and deep list of partners and people involved in this. Obviously, you know, they're fairly diversified. Granted, probably every one of these people make five times what we make. So,
five?
Or maybe more. 10.
50.
You guys get paid for this? I thought this was pro bono work.
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
Oh, no. You're pro bono.
You're pro bono.
No, I meant your day job.
Fidelio, dudes.
Fidelio. All right, moving on. Moving on. EMC buys VMware. Wait, didn't they already buy them?
No, no. The way I understand this, right, isn't it this a case where I thought VMware was going to buy EMC?
Right.
Well, just now they were talking about it. The past couple days, it's been the other way around.
Yeah, I thought they were going to swap. You know, they were going to, like, eat each other.
That's got some weird Oedipal complex issues. It's the Boreolios or whatever, the snake that eats itself.
What's that band, Pop Will Eat Itself?
Oh, my God. What was the hit they had? I can't even recall.
I don't know,
dude. Pop Goes the World? Oh, my God. Oh. Hello, eighth grade?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, You, I mean, you work for the mothership. Obviously, you are a senior executive within the organization. You can comment
let's
upon this.
On the burner.
Okay, so, sorry, what was that, Mark?
You said put that let's on just back put burner. You on the burner. We're gonna fry you now on this one because you work for the company. Of course, you should comment.
Well, I think okay, you should comment on what your theories were.
Yeah.
So this is on the record, like what Gabriel just said is completely unfounded and untrue and just messing around. Yes, I work for EFC. Yes, I'm a principal consultant within Global Services. No, I know absolutely nothing about any sort of plans about succession or mergers or buyouts.
Or storage.
Or maybe fans that will eat itself. So anything that I say about it from now on is just me talking out of my ass.
Boy, that was a stellar disclaimer.
Yeah, dude.
Do go on.
There we go.
You're clear.
So, yeah. I'm sorry. What was the question?
So, EMC considers a buyout by its own subsidiary, VMware.
Yeah. So, for, you know, the past little bit, me and, you know, other friends like you guys, but not Mark, because I don't talk to you that often, Mark, unfortunately. And it'd be cool if we talked more often.
Let's do it.
So I just don't have to, like, stare at you through your living room window like I usually do. But, you know, for a while, the talk has been about EMC just buying VMware because, of course, VMware does very well. You know, you can pretty much, like, see both the EMC and VMware stock as they track with VMware, of course, being a lot higher. They almost mimic each other. You know, and, of course, EMC already owns a large part of it. There's already kind of a reporting structure up to Mr. Tucci, et cetera. So, you know, to some degree that makes sense. But then, you know, the flip side of that is EMC buys VMware. What sort of a chilling effect does it have on the rest of the virtualization companies out there that rely on VMware's technology?
I have a question in that. What kind of message does that send that the only going concern or profitable part of the business is in the virtualization space, and EMC just cedes itself to, hey, we're better off going this route and having our subsidiary buy us out and us being an also-ran?
No, I don't think it's an also-ran at all, because you already have a company that is clearly a market leader with, you know, on-premise virtualization, the cloud. I don't really see cloud being anything more than just kind of like plugging a hole in the dam. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
from
but
a VMware perspective.
So look at it this way: for a lot of the Fortune 500, Fortune 100 space, one of VMware's big plays is the relationship with EMC. I mean, I can tell you at the bank that's why we're transitioning. If for us, it was the other way around. We were an EMC shop. We got burned by EMC. We went to NetApp, huge VMware partner, strategic partner, and now all of a sudden you get some new people in and we're building a new $250 million data center. And, hey, guess what? We like the tighter couplings and synergy with EMC, so we're going back to EMC.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I will say
– flip side to that, though, is that the other rumblings – is with some of the recent stumbles that VMware's made with regards to pricing, management capabilities, just lackluster new features that are coming out, and let's take Hyper-V's closing the gap type approach. All of a sudden, Hyper-V and our already existing ELAs are becoming more and more of a threat to VMware's incumbency.
Yeah, threat, but we'll...
It,
you know,
could
how long
displace.
Will it take to be a significant threat. It's not going to overthrow it. You know, there's
well,
never
when VMware's VMware's annual spend is eight figures, and Microsoft's annual spend is nine figures, and we wouldn't have to spend a dime more. It's significant.
Nah, you know, I'm just going to like reject your real world experience and substitute my own reality.
There you go.
And that's fine. I mean, this is all theory, anyways, right? I mean that's all we're doing is talking about possible theory.
Well, the one, yeah, that's just your that's your opinion, man.
Oh, dude, it's called reality.
No, but you know, I think that you know the missing point of this discussion is the pressure by Elliott, right? You know, we've talked about Elliott management and Mark Singer's group there multiple times on the show in the last year. And they seem to go out and buy certain shares of certain amounts of companies and enact their change issue, and then reap some, you know, significant rewards financially. And this could be just kind of a way to, basically give them the finger, you know,
Right. Yeah.
And I think, you know, EMC is a company at the size, you know, with a portfolio large enough to basically kind of go head to head with them. I mean, Singer's a billionaire, obviously. I mean, sorry, Paul Singer is a you know, mega billionaire, probably has a lot of cash, definitely does a lot of wheeling and dealing in the technology space. I mean, I dealt with them with Emulex. I've seen them inject themselves into QLogic, Brocade, you know, a host of companies that they've tried to, you know, go in there and make and enact change. And it's kind of the one, it's the, you know, nobody's really stood up to them. And I think primarily because nobody had the deep enough pockets to really do it. And this could be like the kind of the first shot across the bow to basically tell them to go, you know, eat a bag.
But why would would Singer leave this situation though? I mean, you know, he would probably see it as raw meat again to, you know, continue what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, how can you say that's EMC, you know, giving him the finger at all, dude? They're giving him exactly what he wants. Cause you know, by him, you know, making a bunch of noise, it's going to basically just hold the stock price hostage, right? So you tell him to chill the fuck out while you, like, make him even more money, right? I mean, they're giving him exactly what he wants.
Well, I did forget that they were able to install two board members this year, so.
Yeah. You know, and they have the agreement for them, you know, just like, hey, be quiet while we work on this thing over here. So, yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me that you would, you know, go through those steps just to effectively do what they're already pushing you to do. You know, what would have been the point of that pause?
Well, I think that, you know, the one thing they would want them to – I mean, I always thought they wanted them to divest completely from EMC – or VMware, spin VMware out completely and return those profits back to the shareholders. Cause that's what they want. That's when it's going to give them the biggest bang for their buck.
Yeah, but is that a long-term moneymaker or is that a short-term?
But none of the things that they want to do are that long-term. You know, as long as they make past 6 months, then it's 15%.
Yeah, but if VMware ends up eating EMC, right, like now you've got this crazy solid, you know, Federation better together story because you own the entire stack. And you're not tied to Cisco, you know what I mean? Because you can use commodity computer, you know, what have you, right?
Yeah. What's the viability of that happening?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
It was a slow news week. Don't kill
the slow news seriously. Week. No. I mean that.
I mean, is that not make not a whole
use
lot
Cisco,
of sense?
Not use Cisco, which is exactly why Cisco got into the UCS space, anyways, right? I mean, name a Fortune 500 company that's not using UCS.
Yeah, DamianCarlson.com. Wait.
Dude, exactly. The tab is totally on you at VMworld if DamianCarlson.com is a Fortune 500.
Yeah, dude.
What does the 500 stand for? Is that dollars?
I thought it was pesos.
So there's an element of this that is that really comes around in a strange way. I'm reading this article about, you know, how the machinations for this, and they're comparing it to the how Seagate had a complex deal with Veritas, and the company that helped put that together was Silver Lake, but without the Kraftwerk back in the late 90s. So Silver Lake was part of that deal of taking Seagate private. And they just invested in Tintree, and who knows if they would be involved in this deal with EMC here again. This could be an interesting thing.
Damn, Silver Lake is a mega powerhouse.
Maybe they would put
to ourselves.
Maybe they would put Tintree in there too. Maybe
Tintree's going to use $125 million to buy EMC and VMware.
Yeah, because EMC's
buy VMware, and then VMware is just going to buy EMC, and they get it that way.
And maybe they'll all be under Tintree.
Tintree MC.
Oh man,
almost as bad as Tintricity. My God, bad conference names.
Tintricity.
Well, Gabe, you guys kind of put Damien on the spot, so I'm curious from Mark and yours perspective, if VMware absorbed EMC, you guys both work for storage vendors, what do you think that does to that landscape of kind of the VMware ecosystem of its partners?
Yeah, and that question goes both ways, depending on who eats whom, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Fidelio.
Mega Fidelio. No, but I think in reality, though, I mean, VMware has always played well.
We'll call that way a reverse eating.
Is it a regurgitation? Ooh, I want to picture that.
Ugh.
That's a Fredneck's party.
Your new podcast gag should be a new Urban Dictionary submission every time.
Oh, my God. There's the secret Windows Phone app.
I have given you Grounder, Soccer Flocker, and Urban Dictionary podcast. That's three great ideas for the price of nothing, dude.
So why don't you just share your Urban Dictionary definition that you created, too?
Like pro bono.
No, I don't want to show all my cards at once.
That'll be for another show. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, obviously we are complexed and confused about what all this means. Obviously, it's nothing's happened. I mean, how long have we been hearing the spin out of VMware rumor? Now that this completely opposite migration point or whatever the hell you want to call it, it's like I said, it's a slow news week.
I say within 5 years, Microsoft buys VMware.
I thought they were buying Docker.
No, I say within 5 years, Microsoft buys VMware, just integrates the whole thing, and we call it a day.
Dude, that's hilarious. What are you drinking, man?
LSD.
Tito's, baby. Tito's.
Fidelio's.
Okay.
You're unadulterated Fidelio's, bro.
Yeah, I didn't think that you could get absinthe in New York.
So VMware buys EMC, Microsoft buys VMware, all comes back.
And then perfect. HP buys all of them?
I mean,
I thought HP was buying EMC or vice versa.
No, dude.
Then you'd
check
still
it
have
out.
To run Exchange on disk drives.
VMware and EMC spin out like this very small business unit who then buys VMware and EMC. So they have a baby that eats the parents.
How about Dell?
Yes.
Just
like
the
Titans. Black Widow.
It's
like a Black Widow, dude.
No, it is classic Greek mythology where the Titans kill their own children or the whatever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
It is
more like melt their wax wings.
What's that painting? There's a painting where it's like
Goya had a great painting.
Yeah, that's the Goya painting, right? Where he's eating the other one. It's like totally dark and
Saturn creepy. Eats its young. You gotta see it. It's a great
it's amazing. Yeah, I love that picture.
I say it's all the Aztecs' fault.
Yeah, well it usually is.
Saturn eating his son?
Yeah, dude, it's a killer picture.
Something like that. Let me look that up.
No, Saturn devouring his son. It's super hardcore, dude.
Wow. Dude, what kind of drugs was that guy doing?
A lot.
Wow.
Well, he lived in a tough time. Let's just put it that way. That is quite a painting. There you go.
It is the Greek myth of the Titan Cronus, who is fearing that he would be overthrown by one of his children, ate each one upon their birth. 14 black paintings. That Goya painted directly onto the walls of the house sometimes between 1819 and 1823. Dude, what kind of drugs did they have?
And, think about that living room. You know, that's a tough place to live if that's what you got on your walls.
Dude, oh my God. I didn't know there was a whole series, but man, they're horrifying.
Yeah, they are.
That one's like, oh my God.
Yeah, so, dude, Goya it's kind of scary. When you go to the
we're
Google
not,
image
like, whiteboarding
search.
These? Are you sharing the links?
Oh, yeah. It just go to let me Google that for you, clown.
Yeah.
Goya Saturn. If you just Google Goya Saturn. Right there.
The one I've always seen, and there's a couple famous ones. It's like, Yeah, Saturn devouring his son, and then there's and then Rubens did one too. Apparently, I think the Goya one is a little more disturbing than the Rubens one, but the look on the child's face on the Rubens one is definitely more perplexing.
Well, dude, here we go, art history.
Yes, dude.
In tech, we trust for art history.
Dude, check it out. It's Alf eats a cat. That was awesome in the Google image search results, dude.
What about VMware? Oh, that's how we got to this VMware.
That's hilarious, yes. Dude. The Elf one is awesome. I want a print of that at my house.
I knew you would like that.
Yes.
Stand it on your wall.
I'm going to pay an artist to come in and paint that on my wall in my kids' room so that when they wake up in the middle of the night, they can see Alf devouring a small animal.
Dude, look at the full size, man, because that look on that cat's face is totally awesome.
The cat's going Fidelio.
He's like, wow.
Oh, fuck Cecil the Lion. I got this cat getting crunched on, right? Where's the outrage?
Keep your kids in check, though, Gabe.
That would totally keep most people. I mean, that's something you should put on, like, an insane asylum's wall. All right.
In case you use it with those four boys.
Yeah, Damien, get this piece of art in all four boys' rooms, all four walls in the house.
Oh,
if you act up, guess what's going to happen to you?
Alf is going to eat your kitten.
So the difference there is that Alf puts the kitten in a cup between a couple pieces of bread, and Saturn in Goya's painting doesn't use the bread.
Yeah.
No, the bread is his baby's flesh.
Oh, God.
Gone off the Fidelio.
Super
spreading
Fidelio.
The milk of human kindness.
Moving onward. Oh, my God. Pernix downgrade. Obviously, we all heard about that. And
very
it affected
sad.
Some friends of ours. So Pernix has done a series of, I guess, layoffs or reductions in force that was announced this week.
We've heard it referred to as right-sizing. It's only right-sizing if you're on the right side of it, but unfortunately for some friends of ours, not so much.
Yeah. We know some people that have been there. And it was interesting. It wasn't just kind of like, you know, it seems almost indiscriminate. T. Laskow, who many of us know, been there, what, 2+ years? And then, our fellow VDB compatriot, Tim Antanowitz, been there.
VCDX at all.
VCDX at all, yeah.
So, dude, imagine this. I'm out on a boat in the bay, like the Miami area, and I look at you in this Skype video and I say, I guess you could say their jobs were gone in a flash. And I like put on my sunglasses and it's, yeah!
Thank you. Except you're not a ginger, right?
There's your fourth great idea. Damn, dude.
He just said he was out on a boat in the sun.
Yes.
Did you not hear that part, Gabe?
Miami Beach.
Yeah.
No, I know what he's referring
gingers
to.
Gingers don't go there.
But wait. Isn't that CSI show in Miami?
Yeah. Yes,
and
exactly.
Colin, what's the guy's name?
David Caruso?
Yeah, same thing. I was thinking...
Yeah, he doesn't go out in the sun, though. He hangs out in the lab.
Yeah.
Oh, I see him.
He's in a car. He's in... Yeah, that's why he has such dark glasses.
That show,
they're like Jason Langer. They have very, very fine alabaster skin.
Yes.
You do have like some very fine alabaster skin, Jason.
When you guys all look like saddlebags and I look good, you let me know, all right? So.
Well. Gabe said he was out surfing all day. He's got great, you know, he's going to look like an Aztec by VMworld.
No, I'm shooting for the, what was the name of that actor? Dean Hamilton?
George Hamilton.
George Hamilton. Yeah, I'm shooting for the George Hamilton leather look.
And amazingly, George Hamilton's only endearing quality has been his tan for, what, 30 years?
Hey, he's still looking good. I mean, he looks like a piece of luggage. He's indestructible.
When he opens his mouth, his
Samsonite.
You could put a cigarette out on it like an elephant hide. It's just like soft tree bark.
He's got a tramp stamp that reads Samsonite.
Nice.
That's
so,
a good one.
Hey, just out of curiosity, I mean, it's like the Register article, I cannot comment on the specific personal decisions at Pernix, but I will say that we set record software infrastructure revenue for our first full year of shipping, and we're on a similar pace for our second year. why do you do a big reduction in force if you're gangbustering?
Well, it may be because you're an asshole.
Oh.
Well, also, wow. Let's look at T and Tim. T is in central U.S. Tim is in East Coast. It just could have been lighter sales in those areas, right?
I mean, I don't know how big their sales force are. I mean,
not like a sinister, you know, the sky is falling thing, right?
It could have too, but I mean, for in Tim's,
but this they're laying off more than two people, right?
Yeah, I mean, Tim copied or covered what some of the most populous cities in the country.
Yeah, like in Canada. Which is like saying bustling metropolis of South Dakota.
Tim covered Boston. He covered Toronto, Montreal, New York City, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, D.C. Honestly, I mean, if to me that sends mixed messages. If they lay off Tim, then what is that saying about the viability of that product in the Northeast quarter?
I don't know.
If you can't make numbers. I mean, that the most populous cities in the country. And that was Tim's territory.
Well, I mean, it could be that the type of customer marketplace is not. I mean, did they get rid of the entire teams there? I doubt that.
I don't know. I don't know that either. But
I mean, they might have overlap there too, yeah. Don't they? Isn't Rob Bergen up in that territory?
Yeah, I mean, there's people that are, you know. I mean, there could be an overlap, and overlap was too much. There wasn't enough. There wasn't enough customer base to go after with overlapping teams. You know, it would be one thing if they had six sales teams in the U.S. and doubled to 12 and then pulled all the way back. But I still think that they have, you know, a good number of. I mean, I think they're over 100 people now.
I think about 100. Well,
maybe they were just trimming the wings.
Lost 16,
you know?
So 10%.
In the article, or one of the articles I saw, said their VP of sales stepped down, or I think it was an amicable separation. So
yeah,
it's probably an alignment.
One more time with his children.
Well, it's probably alignment of forecasting around
man,
sales.
Who
like,
does
like
that?
We're talking about.
Who actually really wants to spend more time with their family?
Nobody says that.
That's what you say, not what you do, Gabe.
Hey, I just had that holiday in Montana. It was pretty good. You should try it.
I'm doing one right now.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I mean, it's all speculation on our point. I mean, it could be, you know, when a VP of sales, maybe, you know, there are certain people that they – you know, they think are attached to that person, and as such, the new person comes in and decides, well, you know, I kind of want to place my own people here. I didn't agree with those hires or whatever it was, you know. And it's, you know, I like, you know, I've always thought that it was an interesting solution. I think that space, and I think Mark and I have talked about this a few times, that the software-based caching space is a tricky one. For long-term viability, but, you know, they've made, you know, they're kind of, I would say, the leader in that space in terms of visibility. They got a great group
of people there. I think it's an acquisition target. I mean,
what's their exit strategy?
What's their exit strategy?
More
they get
funding.
Bought. I mean, that's pretty much like one of three things, right? You die, you buy, you fly, right? Like that's it.
I think we need to introduce them to Silver Lake Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk
definitely has some funds, man. Not just great European disco. But they have a big ass bank account.
But also really, really smug, like blonde guys in awesome suits.
It always reminds me. I mean, like, we've had a few Big Lebowski jokes today, but you know that one's.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
Moving on.
Thing about Pernix and T and Tim are both. Close and great friends of mine. I respect them both. So when I say this, I'm only thinking about just in terms of general conjecture and any sort of a small company that is, you know, beginning to grow and, you know, et cetera. So let's say hypothetically, the reason why just like a two or three people got trimmed is, you know, sales funnel, right? You look at a pipeline here. Well, this person only has four. This person has five. We could easily give two and two to the other two people in each one of those regions, and bam, you know, we just reduced our burn rate, you know, based on funding forecasts and everything else. So, I mean, I think I would think of it as more of just like trimming the wings a little bit while in flight, you know. I mean, no company is ever going to just like not reduce headcount. You know, it's not always going to be an upward climb.
Yeah, but when you're a startup, it kind of needs to be an upward climb when you're in a kind of a volatile space. And if you're perceived as the leader in that space and you're pulling back, what does that say about the technology space entirely, right? It's like, well, everybody's having a hard time. I mean, look, Proximal Data got bought for what? You know, scraps.
Who is it? Proximal Data?
Proximal Data was another player. Yeah. Yeah, another player in the space. Infinio hasn't really gotten, like, kind of the super traction.
Didn't Kyle used to work for Proximal Data?
Kyle Merley.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so there are these technologies or these companies out there that, you know, they got funding, they got a product, it's viable and people want to buy it, but it's not gonna, you know, it's not shaking up the world, right? It is a fairly specific niche that they're approaching.
So let's look at the problem, right? Let's address it in full disclosure. The bank, we're not a Pernix customer. I've levied hard to get it in there.
Shock.
However, the problem is from our use case, management is like, well, what problem is it going to solve? We're not experiencing any slowdowns. Right. When your storage orders are in terms of petabytes and we have in the tens of thousands of spindles and flash tiers, of course there's not going to be a slowdown. We put ridiculous speed on the wire. I mean, it's... For us, it's just not a fit. I mean, it should be a fit. What it should do is change the way that we buy storage. But until you shake up and change that thought process, there's no problem for them to solve.
That's a tough place to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's a product looking for a market. In some respects.
The most successful startups have products that people have their wallets open, money's flying out of them in their direction. Right. And if you guess wrong and you're not downstream of where money is just flowing out of billfolds, you know, you're in tough luck.
Well, but what about something like, was it Datrium? Is that the name of the company
last week? That's the new one. Yeah. The
new one.
I mean, kind of doing the same thing, right? Driving the IO performance at the
Datrium,
the host level with storage
like
on the back end.
A sleeping drug.
That's like the company Diane Greene is funded
or
something.
Well, she threw some money at it.
I mean, kind of same solution. Of course, they're selling hardware as opposed to just being quote unquote software based, but you know, same type of concept. Drive your IO from the host level and then use storage on the back end at a persistence level. So, you know,
Jason, you sold a lot of Pernix. I mean, I remember we had this discussion where you guys were kind of packaging it with lower tier storage arrays, and this was kind of the accelerator, almost like a, you know, a flash cache, flash technology, to kind of let the specific group of people out there who wanted to get a little more bang for their buck out of their old, older storage products, right?
Yeah, we could position it in front of, you know, let's call it traditional cheap and deep storage, drive the low latency and IOPS number at the host level, and just back it with, you know, disks, because from the VM perspective, it's getting the IOPS it needs from the host, and then what's in cache is getting destaged down. But we did have good success with it, but we also had a lot of success around relieving existing storage problems. Mm-hmm. So if somebody had storage problems around SQL or something like that, where they don't have the money to do a refresh or add flash to an array or forklift to new controllers, we could come in and kind of alleviate that kind of in the in-between storage refresh cycle. But to kind of what Tim was mentioning before, getting people's head around doing a complete storage refresh and architecting around that with the idea that you would use Pernix as your main tier for latency and performance, that was somewhat of a challenge, because then you get into the idea, well, I've got this budget. I'm going to start looking to traditional race, Solid Fire, Tejal, whoever, right, who's going to come in with a hardware platform that's going to address those needs right up front during the refresh, if that makes sense.
No, I think that totally makes sense. And that's a specific market that's, I would say, I would call that a niche market, right? And, you know, you're not going to make billions of dollars.
What is the enterprise space?
Oh, the tweener.
Tweener. It is a tweener.
The tweener upgrade.
It's the SME, small, medium enterprise.
No, totally.
Why do we need that?
Damien feels dirty already.
Hey, I'm pretty sure your company created that term.
You know what, dude? Here we go. Check it out. Bimodal market-based sales motions.
Oh, my God, dude. I feel sick.
Have you been following Chad's, you know, his entire speech methodology or what?
I'm threw up in my mouth.
Did you just hear what I said? Did you hear the words?
I
you
stopped
can tell that
bimodal.
I work with marketing, dude.
You're a horrible person, Damian Carlson.
I am. Payday's on Friday.
Nice. All right. Moving on. We got one last one. Nutanix had a little issue with storage review. Not super big news there, but it's an interesting story, you know, because I think there's a lot of challenges. I mean, obviously, we've had discussions about some of the stuff that Nutanix has done recently, the little spat with the guys from EMC and Chuck Hollis and all of the craziness there. But it looks like they were doing a performance testing system with the guys from Storage Review, and it did not go well. You know, and that's – I would say that it's fairly hard to go and give your kit to somebody and say, hey, performance test this and then write a great product, you know, a great glowing review about it. And when it has problems, don't write. I've had discussions with Howard Marks a few times and, you know, a few other people who are analysts that, you know, they kind of have clauses in their things when they do something like this that basically says, hey, you know, good or bad, it's coming out. And that's kind
write
of a risk that you take.
Or something like that.
Say again?
Like a write a first review, and if it doesn't meet muster, we're killing it.
I mean, yeah, some people, I've heard of people write that in.
Yeah, so I mean, one of the ways you can get around that, right, is you just spend more money with a guy like Howard, and that's fine. You say we want to do some, you know, internal performance tests or performance evaluation, and maybe once you get it tuned up, you say, okay, let's do a benchmark, right? Because you then say, you know, we're going to expose this to you, and we're and you should be smart enough to know you're going to find some bugs, you're going to find some things that don't work right, and you do that, and you know, Howard will do independent testing. Not everything that he does has to go public. You know, you hire him. You know, and you say, Howard, we want to test this. Or you hire another, you know, Dennis Martin, you hire somebody to do performance benchmark for you. And then you figure out, okay, now let's do some numbers, right? It's just a, you know, it's one of those things. You don't have to. With Storage Review, I don't think they have that option. I don't think Storage Review would do that work in private. But a guy like Howard would. He just, you know, he needs to understand the scope of the work. If you go to him and you say, I want to publicize a benchmark, that's one thing. If you go and you say, well, you know, we're not sure how this is going to go, that's something else. So maybe there's just a little hubris over there at Nutanix about this.
Last thing in the news, kind of goofy. It's built a 300-mile wall around San Francisco during Burning Man so that none of the people can come back.
So what is Burning Man? I must be out of the loop. I don't even know what that is.
Dude, what century do you live in?
Dude, wow. Even Tim knows Burning Man.
And
he lives in the century of Prima Nocturna.
He wears acid wash jeans and he knows what that is. Good God.
Dude, Burning Man is like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas in the desert.
Well, you know, I kind of jumped the show. I mean, I think I did my first one in 96 and I'm kind of like, and I have some friends of mine.
Jumped the shark in 96 then.
I have some friends of mine that work for the Black, you know, the security group, and they're there every year and they love it, you know, and it's kind of like their big thing. And I mean, heck, you even get Elon Musk going out to Burning Man with some, you know, and Sergey Brin and all those guys go out to Burning Man. It's become very, you know, corporatized, I guess you could call it that.
So you got to be a billionaire to go. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it probably helps because you can get,
bring
your own air conditioning. But
Jason's got it.
Way to go, man. Yeah. Must feel
well,
that.
Jason doesn't have any kids. He's probably a billionaire.
Yeah, dude, but I tell you, he spends more on Legos than I do on my own children, so I don't know.
He spends more on highlights than you spend on your children.
So interestingly, we want to help Burning Man attendees continue their favorite week of the year and allow them to keep experiencing the genuine community and deep connections they can only feel while at Burning Man. To do this, we'll be building a 300-mile wall around the entire Bay Area during Burning Man. The rest of us, for the rest of us, what's normally our favorite week of the year lasts forever. So they're anticipating raising $7.3 billion to buy a state-of-the-art wall supplies. All work will be completed on a volunteer basis. Good luck with that.
Dude, I like for 50 grand or more, you can go on the up all nights watch party. So you can just be up on top of the wall and look at everybody disappointed when they come back and see the wall there.
Yeah, that would be actually quite awesome. And the artist rendering is quite awesome. It looks like they did it in Second Life.
Yeah, dude, it does look like Sims or something.
Or The Sims. There's a guy with a sombrero riding a dog.
And yeah, he's like a giant rubber duck from like one of the Batmans, like the old weird Batman.
There's a rather interesting car with a pair of bongo drums and a dude on top of it. I mean, this is it looks exactly like, you know, Burning Man and people in psychedelic dresses and a lady with bunny slippers. So
you gotta like the station wagon with the big rubber duck on top.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely.
It's a wood paneled station wagon with a rubber duck on it.
Is that Cleopatra dancing on top of an RV? It very well could be.
Something like that, yeah.
Did anybody even bother to go down to the related projects on the bottom?
No. Building a tunnel under the Midwest.
Let's solve the LA traffic problem once and for all with blimps. $51 billion pledged. Let's reroute the Mississippi River.
Mississippi
yeah,
River.
I like that one.
From St. Louis to the Bay Area.
Oh, this is the best spoof ever, and it's really kind of a bummer because when you click on those other products, this is going to, a volume of pledges overwhelmed our system.
Yeah, paywall.
Oh, for $1 million, you can lay the first cinder block on either Point Reyes or Santa Cruz. I mean, that's another $1 million gets you your own section of the wall for a quarter mile for your commemorate your loved ones or paint a mural. It's completely up to you. Only 24 more days to go, so get your pledges in there. They got 662,000 backers right now. I kind of support.
Dude, it's crazy that the chicks in the psychedelic dresses are twins.
Well, you know, if you're going to wear a psychedelic dress, you better be.
Are you sure those are chicks?
Could be Caitlyn Jenner's.
I can't tell. I'm sorry.
I don't know why the guys all have.
I made like a classic cis male.
Shut up.
Monogendered.
Oh my god.
World assumption.
I like the fact that you know most of the guys are wearing like. You know, there's a dude with purple pants and no shirt, but he's wearing a belt and and nice shoes. So, you know, if I was ripped like that, I would want to do that as well. Kind of like the guy to the right there who's got kind of looks like a guitar and he's kind of doing a dance. I don't know.
Really?
Anyway, there's a Tron guy. Do you see the Tron guy?
So you wanted to cut all the other good conversation and talk about the wall, dude?
Yeah.
Man,
oh my God,
you people don't know about the outtakes even, I tell you what.
Yeah, I feel bad for Nigel.
I think we should just give the link and keep this description because this is interesting.
Yeah,
stuff.
We're definitely going to put that in the show notes along with Alf eating kittens.
So the interesting thing, Damien, take a look at the bottom. It basically says that site is made by Cultivated Wit, mm-hmm. and they have a comedy hack day. It's the week before VMworld in L.A. And one of the judges is Dinesh from Silicon Valley.
Oh God, we gotta go. We're all gonna be there, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Yeah. We're definitely going to this.
Wow. Yes. Wait, you said it's the week before VMworld.
It's like the 21st or 23rd. Oh, Slack, sponsored by Slack. Oh,
those guys sponsor all the coolest stuff.
Squarespace, MailChimp, yep.
Mm.
That's awesome.
I'll be up there for OpenStack Silicon Valley, so maybe I'll swing over.
I'm telling you what, dude. Grounder and Soccer Flocker would totally win this.
That's for the next version of Tech Disrupt. We'll be showing those products pretty soon. So let's wrap it up because we've rambled. Let me close it out with everybody who wants to plug something. Jason Langer, plug your beautiful hair.
If you need hair lighting tips, let me know. But nothing to plug other than my blog, virtuallanger.com. And looking forward to seeing all you guys at VMworld in a couple weeks.
Nice. Do you have any sessions at VMworld, or are you just going to drink?
Actually, no. I'm on a panel session on Monday, I believe, at 4:30. It's designing VMware for SMB or something. I can't remember. I should know what it's called. But I am on a panel session, and one of the last sessions on Monday. So
Outstanding.
Look us up.
Prior to everyone being so completely hungover that they forget what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Jason, I heard that VMware, as part of their inclusivity drive for 2015, is doing like a frosted blonde hair tips luncheon on Tuesday. Is that right?
Is it just for you and Chad Sackage?
Yeah. It's for me and Chad, yeah.
So I hear they're going to be like serving frozen yogurt. It's like a Froyo sesh.
It's meet the experts in hair care.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Get Vaughn Stewart in there as well. Awesome. Tim Jabot.
Yep.
What do you got?
Looking forward to VMworld. Let's see. What do we got to plug? Well, we got to plug V Brown Bag Tech Talks, VM Underground. Got to come see the VDB at V Brown Tech Talks.
Yes. Are we all on the pace? Are we doing a tech talk together?
I do believe we are doing, we're going to hope to do an opening and a closing tech talk.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dude, did you get it on the calendar? Or are you just making some assumption that because
well,
you know
Well, we know we're going to close out like last year. That's a given. As far as getting it on the calendar, I think I just told you to. Don't you make the schedules?
Wow.
Yeah, people actually pay money to do that, don't they?
Unless you know people.
Yeah. I'm connected.
I am people. I am literally, legitimately people. Yes, what's up, dude?
Yeah. You got anything going on?
Yeah, so on the topic of VMworld, Sunday, August 30th, from 1 to 4 p.m., so starting at 1 p.m., ending at 4 p.m., because somehow people get totally confused when I tell them this, we're doing the opening acts panel sessions. Second year we're doing this. We're going to have a total of 6 panel sessions running 2 at a time, covering topics such as careers and podcasting and storage and networking, et cetera.
Does that run concurrent to Vodgeball?
Vodgeball is at 3, so yes, there is a bit of an overlap.
It runs concurrent, not only that, time zones, right, for the win?
What?
It's Pacific.
Time zones, you have issues with that.
I do have issues with time zones, but I do know that it'll be 1 o'clock in California. What time it is here in Texas, I don't know. I'm not a wizard. So from 1 to 4 p.m., they're at City View at Metreon across from Moscone from where they usually do like the registration. What is it, like the West one? And then that night, same place, the VM Underground party that we've been doing.
Outstanding.
We're setting up for 1,500 people, so come on out and get some free drinks and check out San Francisco downtown tonight.
Second biggest party outside of VMware Zone, right?
Indeed. I would imagine in about 10 years we might be renting out the baseball stadium.
So, Damien, when did the tickets go on sale for that?
You know, actually, so we're still talking about it. You know, some inside baseball, I'm sure.
Damn, dude, you only got like 15, 20 days. Get with the program, Oprah.
Dude, trust me. If we release tickets, people will buy the tickets. It's going to happen, and people are going to forget about the tickets. So we're kind of at that place where we would like to avoid all the nonsense and the overhead and people, you know, taking issue with either not paying attention to quantity limits or not being able to get there because of time zones or whatever. You know, we're trying to balance the value of having a ticket, having names and registrations, et cetera, versus not having to do that at all because we got enough sponsors. So we're still kind of in that deciding phase as we line up our sponsors, really. So, yeah, we'll find out.
So stay tuned is what I'm hearing.
Way to ramble on there, Gandalf.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
All right.
Jesus, I went from Gandalf the Great to Gandalf the White.
Anyway. All right, Mark, you got anything or are we done?
No, just between now and then I'll be looking for beer.
Oh, always. We didn't have beer talk this week. I guess that's a first. So,
yeah.
Hey, you know what happens?
What is beer talk?
Oh, I don't. Mark makes beer. Do you listen to the show?
No, dude, I don't listen to podcasts.
All right, whatever.
There's two things they talk about: beer and OpenStack. So
yeah, we didn't even talk about OpenStack this week.
Yeah, or containers.
Or containers. Right. The first time for everything.
Well, we should have been talking about beer containers.
Oh yes.
So would you say that your beer and OpenStack podcast is really hopping? Or is it just barley?
I'm here all week. Tip your waiter. Oh, great stuff. And with that, I think we'll close this one out. thanks to our extra special guests, members of the VDB, and of course Mark Farley.
Thank you, Mr. Farley.
Awesome.
Thanks, Gabe.
And thanks to Gabriel Chapman for hosting the show today.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's the first time I didn't just ramble for 20 minutes straight.
Yeah.
And no background noise.
Not screwing up kicking off a Skype, dude. Good job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, awesome. Where's that background noise?
It doesn't happen when I'm in my house for the first time in like, 6 years. So that's the way it works. All right, folks. Good night.